asked me, do I know anybody? And I was like, me. And he's like, do you know anybody else? No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. But our young pastors weren't able to make it. They're out of town too. So it came to third string today. So you're stuck with me. If I have never had the chance to meet you, I'm Pastor Brian. I get to hang out and do worship ministry and a little bit of time with our students as well. And so I'm glad to be with you this morning. I ask you to bear with me. You know that I turned 50 years old this past summer, and I threw my back out 2 days ago. And so I have this stool here. If you see me just sit down for a little bit, no, I need to. Okay. All right. Appreciate that. Man, it is so good to be with you. If you'd open your Bibles, go ahead and get those Bibles open to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 17. That's where we're going to take our main verse from today. Take a break from Pastor Kevin's going through verse by verse. We'll look forward to get back with him on that next week. But we'll be in the book of Galatians now, chapter 6, a very peculiar verse, chapter 6, verse 17. But before we get there, we need to have a little bit of a family meeting, okay? So let's hang out together. I want to talk to you about a condition that affects each and every one of us in this room. Everybody in this sanctuary is affected by this condition. No, it's not any kind of a medical disease that we're going to talk about today, but it acts like one, and I'm talking about human forgetfulness. We are by nature some of the most forgetful creatures that the Lord ever put on this green earth. Amen? It's hard to remember some things sometimes. Look, just this past week, I walked into the kitchen, and I stood there in front of the refrigerator like it was some kind of historical monument, staring at it. And I opened the door, and after staring at the jar of mustard for a while, I went back to my recliner. And just as I sat down on the recliner, I realized I had gone in there for a Mountain Dew. I'd forgotten why I had gone into. Has anybody ever done that? You went somewhere, you're like, why am I in here? Yes, it has caught up with me. I wanted that Mountain Dew, too, so I had to get back up and go. Look, don't even get me started on things like car keys. 20 minutes one day, I searched for it, looking everywhere, in the couch cushions, everywhere, until my wife sweetly just said, honey, have you checked your pocket? There they were. But she can't say anything, because one day she walked around the house for about 15 minutes looking for her reading glasses. You know where they were? On her head, exactly. We are some of the most forgetful people in the world. Look, Kim and I love to take vacations. This happened to us not long ago. We were on vacation and we were trying to get somewhere, but we were hungry, so we stopped at this little diner. We went inside and we ate. We had one of the best little meals ever. We got out, got in the car and took off and got about 15 minutes down the road and I heard, oh! Now look, you don't ever want to hear that. If you're driving, going somewhere, she went, oh! I said, what? She said, I think I left my purse back in that diner. Look, if you know a guy, he don't like to turn around. Like, that's like the worst. Like, hit me with something before you make me have to turn around and go back somewhere. So I turned around, and for the next 15 minutes, I let her have it. I just told her one thing, upside down the other. I can't believe you did that. We're getting old. We're forgetting all the things, all those kind of things. And by the time I got there, I had just said everything I wanted to say. And she got back to that diner. I said, now get out and get in there and get your purse. And while you're in there, get my hat. We forget so much stuff. We forget where we park our cars at the grocery store when we go inside. We forget someone's name after 5 minutes after we meet them, 5 seconds after we meet them sometimes. But the most dangerous kind of forgetfulness isn't forgetting your shopping list when you go into the grocery store, into Walmart, even though that's dangerous because usually buy way more than I'm supposed to. The most dangerous kind of forgetfulness is this thing known as spiritual amnesia. We easily forget how awesome God has been to us the moment that a new storm kind of rolls into our life. We go through a trial, we go through something hard, and we forget how God has seen us through each and every time that we've gone through something. But God, kind of in his infinite wisdom, he knows us. He put us together. He knows that we're forgetful people. And so he has kind of put the system into place. He did something really wonderful. He put this amazing design. He knew that we would be forgetful. So he has a system of permanent monuments. that get built right into our lives. Sometimes they happen on our own very skin. But God allows us to have scars. And today we're going to talk about scars and what it's all about, what it means to have a scar in our life, whether it's physical or spiritual. And we're going to see three things: how our physical scars remind us of where we've been or what we've done, how our spiritual scars help us stay close to Jesus, and how those scars bear a glorious testimony of how awesome God really, really is. So let's read our verse together. It's just one verse. We'll have some others coming along, but let's read our one verse this morning, and then let's pray together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17 says this: "From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." Let's pray together. Father, I'm praying right now that you would just use me, speak through me, only the words that you would have for someone and each and everyone in here today. Lord, we've all been through some things. We've all got some scars in our life. But let's talk about them and just bring them out into the light today. Lord, that we can rejoice for who you are and what you've done in our lives. So, Lord, this moment is all about you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're all human. We all forget. We all have moments where things just kind of whoop right out of our mind. Look, if we're honest, sometimes we have a really bad habit of taking credit for the blessings that God has put into our lives and forgetting the pits that he's actually drug us out of, right? Sometimes we kind of forget those situations. When life is going smoothly, we experience this amnesia of comfort, this amnesia of being okay. But physical scars having a way of keeping us honest. Every single physical scar on your body tells a specific story. For instance, I've got a scar right here that's forming because 3 weeks ago, I thought it was a great idea to pry something open with a screwdriver and went straight into that corner. And if you've ever been a guitar player, that's where you bend and swing up and down the neck all the time. I tell you what, every time I play the guitar, I'm reminded of how silly I was. But you know what's cool is it's healed over. It's got a nice little scab, and that's about to be gone. But I'll probably have a mark there for a long time. We all go through some physical ailments. If I were, hold on, everyone. If I were to remove my shirt this morning, I know. I heard that. Woo! I don't want to make anybody, stumble this morning. I'm joking, y'all. You would see I have a massive scar that goes from right here to right here. It's about 18 inches long. When I was 15 years old, I had back surgery because of scoliosis. I was the second person in the United States to have a particular procedure that did not go through the back. They went through my side, and they pushed my spine straight. In fact, it's one of the coolest things that I've ever been through, one of the hardest things I've ever been to. I went into that surgery at 6'1". When they straightened me out, I came out, and I was 6'5". And so, yeah, I grew 4 inches in 8 hours is kind of my testimony there. But that scar reminds me that I am healed. I'm not the same before than when I went in. That's sometimes why you're wondering, well, Brother Brown, why do you lead worship sitting in a chair? Well, I'll be honest with you. The reason is when I hang a guitar around my neck, it hurts. I've got metal rods in my back, and just putting that 8 pounds on my neck really does hurt. So I sit in a chair so I can play for you. And plus, I'm way taller than everybody else, and it kind of makes us all even. But that's why you see me sitting in a chair sometimes, and that's why when I roll around on the ground a little bit, sometimes my back gets thrown out like it did. But you see, this scar that I have bear on me is not a sign of an active wound. It's not bleeding. It's not healing. It's proof that healing has already taken place. See, this author, Ples Lovelady Jr., writes this: "Possessing a scar means that the hurt is over. The wound has been closed. You've endured the pain, and by faith in Jesus Christ, you are healed." See, God doesn't allow us to have scars to remind us that we've been hurt. He allows us them to remind us that we've been healed. So when you see a scar, It's not supposed to mean like, oh, that was a horrible, horrible time. That scar is meant to show us, look, the healing process is over. You're done. Let me give you a couple of examples here. I read a story this week when I was preparing for this time this morning of a sister named Laura. And Laura was looking in the mirror one morning, and she brushed her hand against a tiny fading scar right between her upper eyelid and her eyebrow. She didn't feel any pain there, but instead, she was transported back in her mind to when she was 10 years old in a cozy, cold February, picking at her chicken pox that had come up on her. And her mother was frantically running around trying to care for 4 sick children all at one time. See, the pain of that chicken pox was gone a long time ago, but the scar kept the memory of her mother's love and God's healing power alive. I'll think about this other lady that I read this other story about. Her name is Maureen. Maureen has a tiny round scar right in the middle of her forehead. Well, how did she get it? Well, when she was a little girl, she stood up on her neighbor's porch swing because she spotted a fuzzy little caterpillar crawling across one of the beams. And she leaned over too far and she fell and she busted her forehead wide open. She remembers feeling woozy just for a moment. And then she remembered her mom cuddling her, worried about her physical condition. But today, that tiny forehead scar is just a reminder of a childhood adventure and a mother's love. Now, I know some of you men in here, I mentioned a couple ladies in these stories, but I know some of you men in here have done some things that were, let's just say, less than brilliant, right? We've done some things. You've got a scar from trying to jump a ditch on a bicycle when you were little, I'm sure of it, or trying to fix a lawnmower blade while it was running. Yeah. Look, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't want to embarrass any of our deacons who are in here. But we've all done some crazy things. We've all done some things that have resulted in a scar. But whether it's a scar from a childhood fall, whether it's a hernia surgery from when you were little or a toddler or some kind of major medical procedure maybe when you were older, those marks on your skin are simply biological history. That's all they are. They say, I went through something, I went through a trial, I went through a moment. Yes, it was painful. It cut me very deeply, but by the grace of God, the bleeding stopped, the skin is closed, and I am still standing here today. Amen. But there's some hidden marks that we go through life with. Sometimes the scars aren't on our skin. Sometimes they're inside. We've all been through some things. Spiritual scars should be a badge of loyalty. But look at me now, right? Not all scars can be seen with the human eye. Some of the deepest, most rugged scars that you and I carry are hidden deeply inside, within the recesses of our souls. They're carved by things that don't bleed red. Instead, they bleed tears. We carry those unseen scars of broken relationships when trust was shattered and maybe even a friendship was ended. We carry the scars of rejection, of words spoken in anger that branded us as worthless. Some of you may be even bearing the scars of a dream that has failed. When we carry those kinds of spiritual scars, our natural human instinct is to hide. That's just natural. So I want to make sure that everybody understands that. When we're wounded deep inside, a lot of times we want to gloss over them. We want to find a way to stand in front of the mirror of life, if you will, and struggle to see anything except our imperfections and the things that are going wrong inside. We hide our skin, yes, sometimes, but we also hide our hurts that are on the inside, our true selves. We try to hide beneath all kinds of things, like thick layers of pride and thick layers of pain and self protection. We think if I could just stay invisible, if I could wear enough emotional makeup to cover my flaws, then maybe I could avoid being rejected and hurt again. But look what the Apostle Paul says in our verse. He says, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Now we're going to go into a little bit of a history lesson, a Greek lesson, if you will. Paul uses this term marks here in this particular passage. When he uses the word marks, it is the original Greek word called stigmata. Maybe you've heard that before. Stigmata refers to the brand marks that a master would burn into the skin of their servants to show ownership. So Paul was using a very, very known term back then. If you were a servant to someone, you were branded with the mark of your master. And so Paul in this verse right here says, look, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The marks of Jesus. Paul had been beaten with rods. He'd been whipped 39 times with a cat of nine tails and a whip. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was dragged out of cities, thrown in prison. He was left for dead. His back, if you can imagine, if he removed his shirt, was a roadmap of suffering. But Paul did something, and he gives us a little hope here. He doesn't hide his scars. He says, look, I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. He doesn't hide them. He doesn't wear this really tight shirt and buttons all the collars so you can't see anything. He doesn't wear the long sleeves. He doesn't hide these things. He wears the scars not as a badge of pride, but as a badge of loyalty. He's loyal to his master. He's loyal to Jesus Christ. He was saying, these marks prove that I belong to the King. They show that I have fought the good fight and my Savior has bought and brought me through each and every one. Church, listen to this. Yes, we are physically scarred sometimes, but sometimes the deepest hurts are our spiritual scars. And I just want to encourage you, your spiritual scars are not your shame. A lot of people will think, I am ashamed of these things that I've gone through. They should not be your shame. They're the blank pages that God takes his pen and he writes his glorious story of redemption upon. Listen, if you have a scar of rejection, it means you survived the rejection. Think about that. If you've been rejected and there's a scar there, it means you survived it. I survived my surgery. I survived things in my spiritual life that I've gone through. There's a scar there, yes, but I am beyond it. I'm past it. Listen, if you have the scar of grief from losing a loved one, it means that even though the agony was harsh, over time, the sharp edge of the pain has faded into a monument of God's sustaining grace. We see this in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. Lamentations says this, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Who believes we have a faithful God? Raise your hand this morning if you believe God is faithful. That's right. See, when you bring your hidden, ugly wounds to the surface and to the presence of Jesus, he doesn't look at them with disdain or disgust. He doesn't tell you to go put a bandage on it. Jesus doesn't say, just go rub some dirt on that. It'll get better. No. Jesus wraps his big, strong, loving arms around you and gently whispers this. These scars are a part of your story. And I think they're beautiful. There is the ultimate scar, though. Our testimony of the things that God has brought us through points people to the wonderful wounded healer. This leads me to my last point this morning. We're going to get out in time for Sunday school today. Ain't that great? All right. Last point. Your scars are not just for you. What? Your scars are not just for you. That's why this morning I encourage you, if you've gone through something, if you have a scar that has healed, don't hide it. We're so good at hiding it, at glossing it over. They sell a makeup called concealer. I mean, that's what we want. We want to cover everything up. We don't want to do that spiritually today. Your scars are not just for you. They are testimonies that are designed to point a hurting world to the ultimate wounded healer. Listen, if you know my oldest daughter, you know that she's gone through some things in life. Some are self-inflicted, some are inflicted to other people, by other people. But I will tell you this, the things that she's gone through and the path that she's on a fantastic path right now and loves Jesus. And she'll tell you today, I have to use the things that I've gone through to share with other people. Because through sharing what I've gone through, what God has healed, the scars that are in my life, he wants to use those to affect other people, to draw them to him as well. And I say amen to that. In fact, for our CR group that was here for so many years, that big phrase was, God never wastes a hurt. If you've gone through something, God wants to use it for a bigger plan. That is our testimony. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 147, or Psalm 147, verse 3, that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. So how does he do that? He does it through the wounds of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Think about this mind-blowing truth. Check it out. When Christ died on the cross and he resurrected again, Christ chose to keep his wounds even in his glorified resurrected state. He chose to keep the nail holes in his hands. You'll see that in the scripture. He chose to keep the hole in his side for a specific reason. When he rose from the grave on that Easter morning, he could have had a body absolutely healed, completely done, no scars, no horrors of Calvary present on his body. He could have had a perfect body with smooth skin, but he chose to keep the scars on his hands, on his feet, and in his side. Why on earth would Jesus, the King of Kings, keep his scars? Well, first of all, he kept them as an undeniable proof of his resurrection. Now, this is me. You just saw me 3 days ago on the cross. Y'all saw me go into the tomb. I'm back. God is awesome. I have beaten death. I've beaten the grave. It is me. And when his disciples were locked, remember the Easter story, when they were locked inside that upper room and they were discussing what was going on and they were trembling with fear, Jesus came and he stands among them. And he says this, touch it. Touch it and see. See that I am he. And remember when Thomas, the doubter, said that he would not believe until he saw the print of the nails, Jesus didn't scold him. He didn't fuss him. What did he tell Thomas? He simply said this, put your finger right here. Take your hand and put it in my side. Don't not believe, Thomas. Believe. See, those scars that Jesus carried on his body prove that the one who died on the cross was the very one who had risen from the grave and conquered the grave. They demonstrated once and for all that suffering and death did not win. And the second reason he kept those scars was as an eternal reminder of his love and sacrifice for you and me. They're the price tags of your salvation. See, I wonder, when I think about the world today and everyone loves to wear a cross as a piece of jewelry, it's very symbolic of the love that Jesus has for us, right? But I wonder how many times, if we stop and think about that cross and how cruel it was and the price that was paid upon that cross. One of the most beautiful symbols of our faith is the cross, but how terrible it is all at the same time. Listen what Isaiah, and then Peter backs him up in 1 Peter, but Isaiah 53 verse 5 says this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, or your version may say stripes, we have been healed. Now notice that. It doesn't say that you might be healed. It says that you have been healed. if you have given over your life to Jesus Christ, if you have surrendered those scars to him, it's just a scar. It shows that Jesus has already worked through your life and brought healing to you. It serves as a reminder. It is finished. The transaction has been completed. And because our Savior carries the scars, he's infinitely approachable. He's sympathetic to what we've gone through. And he knows our very weaknesses that we go through. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be mocked. He knows what it's like to be physically broken. When you and I, when we stop hiding our scars and start sharing our stories of how God has healed the things that we've gone through, that God has brought us through the fire, that God has seen us through our darkest days, what happens? It gives other people hope. If you can make it through that with God's strength, he can see me through what I'm going through. And they become encouraged and they turn their lives over to him. When we show the scars, when we show them these, we show them that if God could heal our broken hearts, he can heal theirs too. Our scars connect us to a hurting world, y'all. They are the proof that the great physician is still in the healing business. Let me close with this story. I want to leave you with a final image this morning, and I pray that it stays with you a long time after you walk out of here. I want you to picture a mother driving her teenage daughter to school one busy morning. The daughter is a sophomore in high school, and like many sophomores, girls in high school, she's sitting in the passenger seat. She's got that drop-down mirror down, and she's putting on that last-minute makeup, right? She's got her mascara out. Look, I don't know how you women do it when you're in a car and it's bumping along and you're putting mask. How do you not poke your eyeball out? I don't know how you do it. I'm so thankful that you get to wear the makeup and men don't, because we would all be blind. We'd poke our poke our eyes right out. But this young girl, this sophomore, was putting down her down on the mirror, and she was putting her mascara on, and she looks closely at her face in the glass. And her finger traces a small notched scar just under her left eyebrow. She pauses and she looks over to her mom and she says, "Mama, remind me again, how did I get this scar?" Mama laughs and she says, "Oh, sweetie, that's a funny story, but it's pretty powerful." She begins to tell her daughter the story of when she was just a 3-year-old toddler running face first into the edge of the counter. Then the mom's voice softens and she drives along and she reminds her daughter of what else was happening during that time. She says, "Allie, you got that scar just a few months after you officially joined our family. You were placed with us after your beloved Papa Jimmy suddenly passed away. You were hurting, and we were hurting. But God brought us together to heal us both. I looked at that cut on your eyebrow back then, and I told you this. Every scar tells a story. And Allie, your story is a story of how God took a season of devastating grief and built a beautiful family out of the process." The teenage girl looks back in the mirror. She finishes up her makeup and she smiles. She doesn't see an ugly blemish anymore. Instead, she sees a reminder of a mother's love and a Savior's faithfulness. Church, some of you guys are looking in the mirror. You're looking in your soul today. And all you can see is that jagged, painful mark of where you were hurt, some way, shape, or form. You see the scar of a divorce, the scar of a financial collapse, the scar of maybe a moral failure, the scar of the loss of someone you loved deeply. But I want to challenge you today. Scars are there for a reason. Stop looking at your scars as signs of your pain and start looking at them as monuments of your healing. Every scar on your soul is proof that the enemy tried to take you down. But Jesus met you in the mess. He met you and bound up your wounds. And by his grace, you're still standing. You're still here. Let your scars speak. Let them tell of the story of a God who never wastes our suffering, who makes beauty out of our brokenness, and who redeems every single piece of our pain. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much for this church, and I thank you for, Lord, all about what you're doing in our lives. Help us to remember that our scars are not meant to be hidden. Lord, they may have been painful, and some of us are in the healing process right now of going through something. But Lord, when we get on the other side, we see how awful faithful you are and how you've walked every step right through this with us. Lord, let these monuments of your faithfulness and healing be what we use to share our love of you with other people. Because my testimony, Lord, I would have never made it through without you. The world wants to beat me up, wants to beat everybody up in here. Satan wants to come against us, but Lord, you are faithful. Let my story of my scars lead people to you. That's what we pray. So Lord, if anybody here is struggling with the healing process, let them turn to you. Let them turn to pastor who can pray for them. Let them turn to their family who can lift them up, Lord, in faith to you, that you would receive all the glory, and all the glory is indeed yours. We love you, Lord. As we go from this place into our small groups or away, Lord, for family time, my prayer is that you would go with us. You would remind us of your word, that we would bear, Lord, the healing presence of you in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We're